What's the meaning of Jesus's parable called the wheat and the tares? That's what we're going to discover in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for tuning in. You've chosen a good day. We're in our second episode of our series about parables, and I'm so excited. I love the parables, as I'm sure many of you do too. Now, I'm going to come back at the end of the program to tell you how to get your hands on some of our free resources, so stay tuned for that. But as for right now, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to walk us through the parable of the wheat and the tares. Sean and Bob, take it away.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are going through the parables of Jesus. These are really intense little episodes of teaching from the Lord. And what makes them so intense is that he's not straightforward saying what he means. He's speaking in parables. And that is intentionally meant to kind of hide or mask the truth from some people. And then what the Lord often did was afterwards, he would privately explain the parables to his disciples.
Right.
Those are extremely valuable because without the explanations, you're kind of off in the wind here trying to figure out what he's saying. So today we're going to do the parable of the wheat and the tares. It's in Matthew chapter 13. And whole books have been written just about Matthew chapter 13, by the way. But we're going to try to cover this parable in 11 minutes or 12 minutes. So it's the parable of the wheat and the tares. And I don't know if I should read the parable itself or if you want to just summarize it, Bob.
Okay, well, basically, the parable is talking about the fact that there's a man, he goes out, he sows seed. And the seed he sows is good seed. So
right.
It's going to lead to a good crop. However, after he sows these seeds, his enemies come and they sow weeds or tares among the wheat, among the good seed. And so when they spring up, they see that there's both the good and the bad. There's both the wheat and the tares. And so his servants say, "What do you want us to do?" He says, "Wait until the harvest time, and then we'll separate the wheat from the tares." And so at the very end, when harvest comes, that's when his servants separate the wheat from the tares.
Right. So that's verses 24 to 30. And then in verse 36, Jesus, he explains it. So in verse 36, it says, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away." So the multitude just heard this parable. Probably they didn't understand it. "Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house." And this is probably Peter's house in Capernaum. "And his disciples came to him saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.'" It's like, "Lord, what are you talking about? Please tell us."
Right. Which is a good question. We should pray this every day.
Absolutely.
"Lord, explain your word to me. Holy Spirit, show me what this means," because it's hubris on our part to think we can get this apart from the work of the Spirit.
Well, you know, one of the most encouraging things I get when I'm teaching or preaching is when people come up afterwards and ask questions.
Right.
Because it shows that they're thinking about it and they want to understand it. Because how many people are just kind of sit there, they just assume everyone else is understanding what the preacher's saying.
Right.
And they're just like, "Well, I guess I must be too dumb to get it." And they leave without ever asking any questions or really getting anything from the sermon.
And just like you like people asking questions, so does God.
Yeah, absolutely.
He wants us to look into this. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek.
I mean, seek out Bible teachers and preachers and pastors and ask them questions about the text. So verse 37, "He answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the wicked one.'" So the field is the world, and the good seed. See, I would have thought the good seed is the message, but it's actually the good seed are the sons of the kingdom. So the seed are people. "So the field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom."
Which, by the way, this expression only occurs here and in Matthew 8. And in Matthew 8, the sons of the kingdom are involved in weeping and gnashing of teeth, which I take it refers to missing out on eternal rewards, but that's another message. But notice they're the sons of the kingdom, and who are the tares? They're the sons of somebody else.
Sons of the wicked one.
Right, so you've got two different choices here.
Uh-huh.
Sons of Satan and the sons of God, the sons of the kingdom.
Right. "The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels."
Okay, now the end of the age, part of the problem is the Lord doesn't tell us what he means by the end of the age.
Right.
Does he mean the end of the church age, which is the rapture and the seven-year tribulation, and then Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom. So are we thinking here of primarily the end of the tribulation, mm-hmm. when the Lord will separate believers and unbelievers, and we have the judgment of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25:31-46, which shows the sheep on one side and the goats on the other, mm-hmm. and obviously somebody separated them? Or is this looking at the end of the millennium, mm-hmm. when after the thousand-year reign of Christ, the angels will come and separate the believers from the unbelievers, and the unbelievers will go to the great white throne judgment?
Okay.
I think this is looking at the end of the tribulation. When it says they're cast into the furnace, which we're about to read, that looks at Hades, or what we call hell, mm-hmm. not the lake of fire. This still anticipates the great white throne judgment in the future.
This sowing, then, is really, you think this is more restricted in scope. So this isn't just like the preaching of through all history. Jesus has been sowing, the devil's been sowing. So this isn't just all of history now. This is just a specific period of time.
Well, I think it is. Now, of course, we could argue that, look, at any given point in time, there are believers and unbelievers. There are wheat and there are tares. Mm-hmm. But what the Lord's talking about here is the end of the age.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's looking at a specific time of that, which is the end of the age. It's always, every time, it's going to be true they're sons of the kingdom and sons of the wicked one. But
yeah.
These are particular sons of the kingdom,
right.
and sons of the wicked one, which I take is during the tribulation.
And by the way, it's interesting that this shows the activity of Satan in the world. And Satan is sending out his message into the world to create his own followers.
Right.
You know, and so beware of those false seeds, those satanic seeds. 40, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. And that's what farmers would do. You know, if you get crop that is not actual crop, it's just weeds, what do you do about that? You burn it up.
Right.
Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. That means
right.
these people are going to get burned up in the fire.
Right.
The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all the things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So you were just saying, what is this furnace of fire?
I think the furnace of fire looks at Hades. And I don't think this is looking at eternal condemnation. I think this is looking at the time during the millennium. They will be in the place of the dead, Hades, of the unsaved dead, for that 1,000 years.
And so, by the way, a lot of people might get confused by this, because in a lot of English Bibles, they just use one English word, hell,
right.
to refer to all the different places of the dead. And so some people get this wrong idea that there's only two options, heaven or hell, and they associate hell with the state of where unbelievers will be for all eternity. But that's not quite right.
No, hell is the place right now where the unsaved dead are. But they will be moved, according to Revelation 20:11-15. They'll be raised from the dead. They'll be brought to the great white throne judgment. And after that, they will be cast into another place called the lake of fire,
right.
where they'll spend eternity.
Now, the lake of fire is really what most people think about when they think about going to, quote unquote, hell. And so Hades is really just a temporary place of torment.
Right.
But the lake of fire is the eternal place of torment.
Correct.
And so what Jesus is talking, you're saying what Jesus is talking about here is they're being sent to that temporary place of torment.
Right. They're being held until their final judgment at the great white throne.
It's like being at a terrible layover airport.
Right? It's really bad.
It's the worst layover.
Really bad.
Worse than Chicago, worse than LaGuardia. You know, it's just terrible.
I was 28 hours in the Tampa airport recently.
You were,
and
yeah.
that was exciting.
So Hades is really just a temporary place. Okay, and where are we? There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So this is basically the suffering of unbelievers.
Right, wailing and gnashing of teeth are oriental expressions of grief.
And by the way, it doesn't only apply to unbelievers. There are other places in Scripture where it applies to believers and
right.
the regret we feel.
Right, we can have experienced this at the judgment seat of Christ.
43, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So what does that mean? Then the righteous will shine forth. So is that a prophetic statement that after the end of the age, this time for the people to shine, it's the
right.
time to shine?
Right. And it kind of looks back to Daniel chapter 12, I think it's verse 3, where it talks about this shining forth of believers. And, of course, Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. You know, Jesus is certainly going to shine during the millennium. all overcomers, all faithful believers, are going to rule and reign with him, and so we will shine with him. And I think that's what this is looking at.
Okay. So this takes place after the rapture of the church. So the church is gone.
Right.
And you were in the tribulation. Seed is being sown.
We're not in it, but
we're not
there
in
are
it, but they are.
In
people
it.
Are in it. We're yeah. gone. You and I are with Jesus. There are the sons of the kingdom there during the tribulation, and then there are the sons of the devil are there
right.
too. And at the end of that period, angels are going to come and separate those two people.
Right, and I think that's suggested by Matthew 25, 31 to 46, where the sheep are on one side and the goats are on the other side. The angels have already separated out the sheep and the goats.
Right, and presumably anyone who dies during the tribulation, they're going to find out right away where they end up. They don't need to be gathered by the angels. Would that be fair?
Well, it seems to me that the those who died during the tribulation will already be in Hades. Now, like I say, it could be the end of the millennium, but I
right.
don't think so. I think this is the end of the tribulation.
What's really interesting, then, is you have people who are alive at the end of the tribulation who've been gathered by the angels. What happens to them?
Well, the believers will be going into the kingdom, but the unbelievers will go into Hades. And so the point of thinking of this parable is, look, we know after we depart, there is going to be a great tribulation. And during that time, the Lord will separate the wheat and the tares. But in every age, there are wheat and tares. One application for you and for me is this. We want to share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone we can, because we don't want anyone to go to Hades. We don't want anyone to miss out on the glorious kingdom which is to come. So we need to tell them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved.
Thanks to Sean and Bob for that great discussion about the wheat and the tares, one of Jesus's famous parables. Well, I don't know about you, but I am really enjoying this series, and we've just gotten started. We've got many more weeks to go. Maybe you'd like to get more connected with us, the Grace Evangelical Society. One way that you can do that is by going to our website, faithalone.org. I hope you'll spend a little time on the website, because we've got all kinds of free resources available for you. We've got a great print magazine. We've got free teaching videos. You can get subscribed to our podcast, which has previous episodes of this show. You can get free ebooks. You really need to go over to faithalone.org and look around a little bit. We curate all kinds of great content that's designed to help you grow. So I hope you'll do that. You might also like to become a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that runs this radio program. You can do that by going to faithalone.org. You can click the donate button, and you can choose between a one-time or a recurring gift. Your generous donation will help us to grow and maintain the work that we're already doing. Every donation is tax deductible and very much appreciated. In the program, Sean and Bob talked about how important it is to ask questions, to not just sit there quietly when you don't understand and pretend as if you get it. If that's the case for you, that you have questions, comments, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. In fact, I'll give you our email address so that you can do that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the program, we're going to talk about Jesus' parable of the unforgiving servant. Be sure to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.